This week on the eBay for Business podcast.
Welcome, caller, to the eBay for Business podcast.
I'm Griff, and this is the eBay for Business podcast, your weekly source for the information and inspiration you need to start, run, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is episode 162. And this week, we're test driving a new episode format. Instead of one or two guests, we'll be taking calls from eBay sellers. Well, Griff, it's a podcast and you record it every week. How do you do that? Well, it's a little tricky. A lot of podcasts actually do this. So you set up who's going to call and when they're going to call at a certain date and time, and then you kind of run the show as if it's live, and you have people waiting in queues and all that. All they had to do is call 888-723-4630. And the way we did it is we put out a call for tips about our topic this week, which is packing. And we got a lot of response. In fact, I was pleasantly surprised. At first, I was just going to read a few of them on the air. And then I thought, wait a minute, there's enough here for a whole show. So that's what we're trying out this week. Let us know what you think. We'd like to do this again in the future, even if it's just a smaller segment of future episodes. I love the idea of calls. It's the one thing about the old eBay radio show I really miss is we used to take calls from the audience. That's coming up. In the eBay news, no eBay news this week. Oh, wait a minute. You might notice that I'm flying solo this week. Rebecca is out for the week, and Brian was in Las Vegas for the seller conference, the Seller Remix, I think it's called, in Las Vegas. One of the first, you know, sizable events where sellers were having a conference since COVID. So things slowly getting back to normal. And Brian and Sheila Duque from our community team went out to represent eBay. We actually may have some audio of that for next week. Fingers crossed, Brian did everything right with the recorder. We'll see what we get. As far as news, there's really no eBay news for this week, but we do have a correction to post. Last week, we mentioned it was possible now for sellers to sign up for text alerts from the eBay for Business team. What we didn't include is what to text. You have to text the word join to 20633 to start receiving those alerts. And again, for anyone concerned about being bombarded with alerts, the team will be sending out one or two, maybe three at most each week. I was assured, so I joined by texting join to 20633. I was also asked to enter my zip code once I had texted join to that number, and that's fine. That starts your subscription. You can type stop at any time to stop receiving alerts. You can also, as an option, provide your email address to receive account-based information via email. But again, that's just an option. And so far, I've only had two alerts this week. So I guess they're keeping their word. And I like to stay on top of things. I think I should. I'm running a podcast. I should know what I'm talking about when it comes to eBay. Also, there's a brand new forum on eBay Community where we'll be discussing each episode of the podcast every week from Tuesday to Thursday. If you visit ebay.com/podcast and you click the drop-down menu for podcast up in the right-hand corner, you'll see a new link that says Discuss the Podcast. Each week, we'll start a new thread for that week's episode where you can post questions or comments about the topics discussed in that week's episode. I'll be there from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. every Thursday to answer questions before we close the thread for further posts. So check it out. You can get there at www.ebay.com/podcast and then click the podcast link and select Discuss the Podcast. Now it's time for the great experiment. We're going to take calls for the entire show. Our topic this week is all about packing, and let's see how it goes. Let's take some calls. So let's check out who's our first caller. Welcome to the eBay for Business podcast. Please state your name and user ID, and we'll talk about your tip.
Hey, Griff. It's Victoria Egan.
Vicky, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Very well. Thank you. I'm so glad you called. So tell everyone who you are.
So my user ID on eBay is LV Pink Peacock, and I've been selling for over 20 years. I'm a full-time reseller, and I sell a little bit of everything. Teach people how to sell and have a YouTube channel and help run a Facebook group, all that good stuff in the reseller community.
Where are you right now? It sounds a little busy.
So I live in Las Vegas, or just outside of Las Vegas. And right now we are hosting our first ever reseller event called the Reseller Remix. And we have a live in-person event with about 250 attendees. from all over the country. So it's the Boss Reseller Remix. We are actually setting up for registration. We have people coming in any minute now.
Tell us some of your best tips for packing.
So my favorite packing tip, and I have to say, I surely did not invent the wheel. I can't remember where I heard it from or who taught me it years ago, but pool noodles, styrofoam pool noodles. They are super inexpensive. I buy them by the case about once a year from the Dollar Tree. If you have a Dollar Tree or a dollar store near you, you get them late spring, early summer. You've got to get them early because they sell out fast. But again, they sell them a dollar a piece, obviously. And if you buy them by the case, they'll last you a year or two, depending on how often you ship fragile things. And they can be cut down and cut lengthwise to frame things like artwork, electronics, anything that has a hard and sharp edge that you want to pack in a box. It conforms a little bit better than styrofoam. It doesn't crumble like styrofoam does. And it helps protect those fragile edges from things. Again, it's a super inexpensive packing material.
Do you have a particular story of something that was so badly packed that it astonished you when you got it?
I send things out with care. And I remember sending out a very fragile antique typewriter once, very carefully packaged, lots of expensive packaging materials, wrapped very carefully, double boxed, the whole thing. And this was a long time ago, maybe 6-7 years ago. A customer sent it back to me thrown into a box with absolutely no packaging whatsoever. And the box was very large and way too big for the item. I have no idea how the box itself wasn't completely smashed, but the typewriter sure was. It was like a 100-year-old typewriter, and goodness, it was destroyed completely.
What was the return reason, if I may ask?
They didn't like it.
Okay, but still, why take it out on the typewriter?
Right? So, and it makes me feel bad, especially when it's something antique or vintage. It really upsets me when people do not know how to take care to package something like that, because that's the whole point of selling vintage and antique items, is to rescue them and keep them out of the landfill and give it a new life and recycle and upcycle and save it from being destroyed.
I always remind people when I sell something that happy to take a return, keep the package material so it's easier for you to send it back.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Good thing it's 6 or 7 years in the past.
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah. It's been a while.
But it still hurts a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. Poor thing never had a chance.
Exactly. Nikki, thanks so much. I really appreciate it. Continue listening. And really great success. I can't wait to hear from Brian and our colleague Sandra as well. It's going out. So I can't wait to hear how it went.
Thank you so much. It was good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. We're doing great with the calls so far. Let's see who's in our queue. Welcome to the podcast. What's your full name and your user ID?
This is Joel Stern. I sell under the name APANTIQ.
And I bet you sell antiques.
Yes, I do. I've been in the antique business for 50 years, and 20 years ago, I closed my store and went on to eBay.
And you never looked back?
Never looked back. It was an amazing experience. All of a sudden, I had a worldwide audience instead of sitting in my store waiting for someone to come in sometime.
We're taking tips on packing this week. Can you give us yours?
I thought of one good one. I got a package once that was well wrapped with bubble wrap, really well bubble wrapped, but then it was cocooned in clear packing tape. It was like impossible to open it. My tip is, when I wrap things, I wrap them well in bubble wrap, but I secure it just with small pieces of brown masking tape, which are easy to see and easy to remove. I also have gotten some things that have been wrapped with the eBay tape, and that also comes off the bubble wrap easily.
You're preaching to the choir. One of the most difficult for me as a buyer, and I buy a lot on eBay, and I know it's well-intentioned. There are sellers who wrap something in bubble wrap, and then, like you said, they wrap it with so much tape. It takes two people to open it, and I can't tell you how many times I think I've almost cut off a finger trying to get that open. It's like they're wrapping a mummy.
Exactly.
And then think of us older people with arthritic fingers. Well, Joel, I want to thank you so much for your tip. It was great of you to call in, and keep on listening.
I've been listening to you since you and Lee started.
Oh, that's a long time ago. That's almost 20 years ago.
That's why I said it's been a long run.
Well, we're glad to have you on board. Take care.
Thank you. Nice talking to you.
Let's take our next call. Welcome to the podcast. Please state your name and user ID and tell us your tip.
Hey, Griff. This is Teresa Cox.
Hey, Teresa.
I know. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I hear you're in Las Vegas.
I am in Las Vegas at the Boss Reseller Remix Conference, and we're just getting set up, and I'm super excited and pumped for what's happening the rest of the week.
I think you guys knew that this was going to be a phone call session because I just talked to Vicky, so you must have overheard her, but I'm glad you called in. So tell us your user ID and your specific tip about packing.
So I am ClubRed97, and my tip for packing is to, you know, people make sure that you have breakables and all that sort of stuff packed and bubble wrapped, but I think people miss the idea of things rubbing against each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just shipped a pair of shoes, patent leather shoes that had buckles on them, and I wrapped them in tissue paper and put bubble wrap around the buckles so that in shipping, the buckles didn't rub on the patent leather and scratch it. And same thing for leather boots or even any kind of wooden ornament. I put 3 wooden ornaments in a thing and I tissue wrapped each of them individually to keep them from rubbing each other. And I think that's a tip that sellers may not think of.
Have you ever received anything that was damaged because the 2 items in the, or more in a box were not padded, so they were rubbing up against each other?
Oh, of course. How do you think I figured out you need to put bubble wrap on buckles on shoes?
It's very disappointing to get stuff that's been damaged while it was in movement and transit.
It is. And you know, people don't realize that that is, things do move around in a box. And so you got to account for that and protect your item for the buyer.
That's a very good tip.
Hey, if I may, I have a second tip I really want to tell you. It's not going to be as popular, but I think it's important. I sell sewing machines here and there or other heavy items, and I have no idea where I picked this tip up or how I came up with it, but I use spray foam insulation. And I use spray foam insulation because it will conform to your item and keep it from moving around in the box. And that's what's important when you're shipping a big, heavy item. I will wrap the item in a trash bag or some kind of plastic protection. You spray some spray foam in the bottom of the box. You wait a couple of seconds and you sit your item down in it. And then you use styrofoam filler or whatever so you're not going through 3 cans of spray foam insulation. And you just kind of spray foam up the side of the box. When you're done and you seal the box is secure and nothing shakes or moves around or it rattles in it.
Because it expands. That foam actually fills a space.
Yes. So that, and that's what's nice about it is that it expands to conform to the space and the outline of the item that you're shipping. It's fairly inexpensive. It's only about $5 a can or so.
Yeah. And if you're shipping an expensive antique typewriter, you want to make sure it arrives in place. Have you ever received an item that was heavily damaged because it wasn't packed properly?
I shipped a sewing machine in a box and I did all this stuff and they put it in another box and they just put everything in the box. And I have pictures of that and it was horrible, but it was shipped FedEx. FedEx stepped up and they paid for the items that were missing out of the box. They even paid for me to have the sewing machine serviced so that I would make sure that it wasn't broken. And I did end up reselling it. That was a good positive experience with a carrier and insurance where, you know, you can't fault a buyer. They don't ship every day like we do. Was I upset at the time? Absolutely. There's no doubt. But, you know, a couple years down the road, you're like, yeah, they don't get what we get. So
sometimes they have to be led a little bit. I always, when I sell something that's expensive or that there's always the possibility they may ship back, I always put a reminder on the top of the box. Hey, save all this stuff in case you want to return it. Because I take returns, no problem. That'll make it a lot easier for you to ship it back.
Absolutely, yes. And I take returns as well. I tell people all the time, you need to take returns because you're shipping an item to somebody where they can't see it. They can't touch it. They can't see how big it is, how heavy it is. They can't flip it over and see. So, yeah, I mean, it's unfair not to take returns in my opinion.
Right. So true. Thanks so much, Teresa. Well, good luck at the conference this week.
Well, thank you. It was fun talking to you. We need to catch up.
We do, and I promise we will.
There you go. All righty, Griff. Good talking to you.
Thanks, Teresa.
Take care.
And the calls keep on coming. 888-723-4630. Let's take our next caller. Welcome to the podcast. Tell us your name and your user ID and your packing experience.
Hello, Griff. It's Craig Dawson from Two Dogs Digs up in Canada.
Hey, Craig, how you doing?
Not too bad. How are you today?
I'm all right. I'm so glad you called.
Well, thanks. Except I'm actually calling you for a little bit of a different reason. I'm not calling to tell you how to pack.
Okay.
I'm telling you how to not to, because our experience, surprisingly, we literally just hit 25 years on eBay last week.
Wow.
Our 25th anniversary. And we have had things shipped to us in so many terrible ways, I thought I'd give you a quick call to say, please don't do this.
We love the don'ts, and I hope they're not too gross, but go ahead.
So I'll start with the outer packaging. Let's start with that. One of the things, and we've actually talked to a lot of people about this, and we seem to get a lot of pushback, is we just tell people, please use a sturdy box. Plan on the box that you're going to use so you're not panicking for 3 days after you've sold something that you can't fit it in anything. And you're not trying to run around the house and say, I don't know, stuff that really nice t-shirt into an old Cheerios cereal box that you just had. And let's not even put any wrapping on that cereal box. Let's just slap a label on it and send it off.
Wait a minute. Are you making this up or this is... Oh my God.
No, I've actually had a CD and a t-shirt sent to me in a cereal over the years in a cereal box that's been flattened. You didn't even have an envelope for it. They had it in a cereal box.
I mean, I understand recycling, but this is ridiculous.
Yes. And the thing is, you just think you're being cheap. Well, you are, but you're also reflecting on every other seller that is on eBay. Because if somebody is a new buyer, and over the past couple of years with COVID, we have found so many people who have been brand new buyers to us. And the first thing they're going to get is that fabulous Christmas ornament that you ordered from them wrapped in a diaper box. Yep, had that one happen too. In fact, wrapped in a diaper box with unused diapers.
No, I just,
adult
I can't.
Diapers,
oh, no, no.
Adult diapers,
no.
Wrapping a glass Christmas ornament inside a child's diaper box. And the thing is, they didn't even have the wherewithal to cut it apart and turn it inside out. At least that would have been something a little bit nicer as well. This was actually wrapped in brown paper, which again, USPS recommends you do not do because it can get caught in machines. But we always say, please do not use diaper boxes. Please don't use beer boxes, beer cartons. Please don't use wine boxes because again, they just don't look professional. Recycling is a good idea, but recycling food boxes, especially if somebody has a peanut allergy and you don't know what's been inside that box before, we see people picking up boxes from grocery stores that may have had stuff shipped in them. So you don't want to have that either.
I hadn't even thought of that. You don't want to put someone into anaphylactic shock.
No, just because you're too cheap to actually prepare and get a box. They're available at your dollar stores. They're available probably from stuff that you've ordered. Just put it aside in your house. And then once you've found that box, again, let's not wrap it in A, unused adult diapers. B, unused puppy pads.
No, no, no.
C, old newspapers that are from 1913 that are yellowed and look like mice have chewed on them for the past 20 years. Again,
oh dear.
All examples of things that we have gotten sent to us wrapped in that type of stuff.
I know if I get something that's wrapped poorly, I'm disappointed, but I never say anything to the seller. Do you?
Couple of times I have reached out to the seller and basically they've chastised me for chastising them.
Good intentions, you know.
I haven't given negative feedback or neutral feedback. Actually, I think I might have even once given neutral feedback on something, and it might have been a fragile object that I got sent to me. It was glassware. And that was the one that was wrapped in puppy pads, like a set of four glasses.
Were they broken?
No, they arrived okay, but they used a lot of puppy pads. We had a puppy, which was nice. I could use them for the puppy, but the experience of opening up a package and finding something that is like one in a box that's inappropriate and then saying, the person who sold this to me doesn't care about what they're doing.
That's what it telegraphs.
Yeah, even brand new newspaper, one of the challenges with it is you get newspaper all over your hands. And depending upon what the item is, you can actually get newspaper on the item. I've had like a white coffee mug delivered that's had newspaper smudged onto it. So again, my first experience isn't one that's a positive, which will lead me to either not leave positive feedback, maybe leave neutral feedback, or possibly negative. But if you're a seller, you want to get positive feedback. You want someone who hopefully, even if they're going to use something, like if I send out a coupon now, I don't want to send out an eBay coupon and say, come back to me. You know me. I'm the guy who sent you stuff in diapers.
the diaper man.
Well, that sounds strange. I'm the guy who mailed you something. Not I'm the guy in diapers. I mean, I mailed you something. I wasn't wearing diapers when I mailed it. Well, no. Okay, we're getting off topic. But you know what I mean.
But it leads you to think, right?
Yes.
It depends.
I actually saw an example of somebody who literally, I could not believe this, as a collector of vintage dolls and action figures, somebody sent a Barbie doll, and because they couldn't figure out how to make it fit into a flat rate envelope, they popped the legs off the doll. A 1965 doll. They basically broke the legs off the doll and set them in the bag with the body and head, and because it was too tall to fit within the certain size bag.
Sure, right.
If I just spent $50 on a doll and I open it up and like the legs are separated, why? And then literally the seller said I couldn't fit it in otherwise.
That is a nightmare.
Yeah.
I know they can pop right back in, but still.
Well, some can and some can't, but still, you didn't buy a doll with separated legs. It wasn't like supposed to be a craft project of any kind. That's the kind of challenges that we see. And it's like, again, if it's prepare yourself for what you've got to sell. We've had stuff recently that we've sold that we sold a doll that was actually 3 feet tall. And I would not list it until I had the proper box for it to go in, because it actually ended up selling for close to $500. And the person who got it was amazed at the pack. Like, we literally got feedback that amazing packing job.
Yeah, that's what you want to hear. It's the reveal. You want to be professional. You want to delight the buyer when they get the package. Greg, I want to thank you so much. It was great talking to you, and thanks for calling in.
My pleasure. Good luck with all your Q4 sales, everyone.
Oh, and that was Craig's dog there. Mine are both napping for a change. Now let's get to our next caller. Welcome to the eBay for Business podcast. Please state your name, your eBay user ID, and your packing tip.
Hi, it's Katie Zilberberg, and my user ID is a boutique for him.
Wait a minute, Katie, tell me you're not in Las Vegas.
Actually, I am in Las Vegas. Oh, no.
This is a conspiracy. You guys, you called three times. Actually, I'm very grateful that you called. Thanks so much. What is your packing tip?
My packing tip is, I would say I have basically designed my business to revolve around the idea that I can package and ship my stuff the easiest way possible. And that's why I sell t-shirts and sweatshirts. And guess what, Griff? Everything goes in a poly mailer. It's amazing. It's amazing. But you know what ends up happening? I know you talked to Vicky earlier, is somehow she roped me in into packaging her large items in big boxes. So she's telling you about all these tips about pool noodles. Yeah. Well, let me tell you who's cutting down those pool noodles, Griff. It's me. It's me.
Well, you know, that's what makes partnerships work, a little cooperation and participation, right?
Sure, that's true. That's true.
It is easier if you sell one specific thing to have your packing all set up, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I, you know, when I very first started out, I did hard goods. I did everything I could get my hands on that I could sell. And I'm just somebody, I like to have a routine. I like to have a process. Because of what I sell, it's like it makes it very simple to kind of have this routine I go through of how I do my shipping each day. And it's great until Vicky sells something big.
And then ropes you into packing with the pool noodles.
It's true.
You know, those pool noodles serve another purpose, their original purpose. If it gets really frustrating, you could just go and start hitting each other with them.
We can start to have a joust to get our emotions out.
Yeah, right. It's called couples therapy.
It's wonderful.
Well, Katie, thank you so much. I really do appreciate that all three of you called in. This will be wonderful. And I hope to see you all again soon.
Absolutely. We hope to see you as well, Griff. Thank you so much for having us on.
Thanks again, Katie. And again, best of luck to everyone who attended the event in Las Vegas. We're on a roll now, so time for our next call. 888-723-4630. Let's take our next caller. Welcome to the podcast. State your name, your user ID if you want, and tell us your packing tip or experience.
Hi, Griff. My name is Gary Lee.
Hi, Gary.
From Tenants Harbor, Maine. Our eBay store is Coast of Maine Antiques, which gives you a good idea of what we sell.
And where you sell it.
Yes. Most of our stock comes from estate auctions. We try to specialize in nautical, but I'll list anything good for the store theme. My wife, Joan, and I have been selling on eBay since 2005. We've earned a top-rated seller status and enjoy having maintained a 100% positive feedback rating for years, fingers crossed. For us, a good selection of boxes is crucial. I source my shipping boxes from a variety of big box stores. Of course, with your free USPS account, they will mail you all the flat rate shipping boxes, which we use a lot, including the hard to find and very useful A and B region boxes for free. I believe eBay also has free shipping supplies if you have a store subscription. I've never used that, though. I should, really.
Do you have an eBay store?
Yes, I do.
You're letting this just fly by. It's every quarter you get a coupon that you can use in the store. And depending on your store level, it could be a lot.
I will definitely check into that. I don't know why I haven't. I've heard you mention it so many times. I don't know. Our shipping procedure starts right after I do the listing photography. I measure the item's longest or tallest measurement and find a box that will offer at least 2 to 3 inches of vacant space all the way around the item. Normally, depending on the tenderness or the weight of the item, I secure an initial layer of the small bubble wrap loosely packed around the item with a stretch wrap. Stretch wrap is just that cellophane that's on like a 6-inch wide roll.
Yeah.
And you can just wrap way better than tape. After the initial bubble wrap goes on, I go to the larger half-inch bubbles for an outer layer of the wrap, and I secure this again with stretch wrap. I try to keep guys like Griff in mind when packing and look for a balance between protection for the item and not presenting it to my buyer as a challenge to unwrap.
Oh, thank you so much.
One way I do this is by... I use a terminating end at the end of the stretch wrap. In other words, after I've wound it around the bubble wrap, I put like a little tail on it by twisting it to a point. And sometimes I mark these little tails for visibility. I've actually written pull here on some things. The goal being, of course, an easier way for the buyer to unwrap without surgery or a chainsaw.
Exactly. Thank you so much. Much appreciated.
That bubble-wrapped item will rest on a bed of packing peanuts in the shipping box. I might just surround them and kind of cover it with more packing peanuts, but more than often, I use the air cushion bags. I then weigh the item that's in the box packed with appropriate packing around it.
Yeah.
I weigh it, and I write the weight and the size and my inventory number on the box, and then off it goes to be logged into my storage area. Then I do the listing.
This is different than most sellers, but it sounds to me more efficient because now not only do you have the information you need when you list it for the weight and the dimensions, but the item is stored safely in its box. So it's less prone to get damaged, right? If it's sitting up on a shelf boxed than it is if it's not boxed.
Well, that's absolutely true. In fact, the benefits are having the item ready to ship when it sells and not having to rush around looking for the correct size box, which you'll never find. That will be the one you don't have.
It always works out that way. I can guarantee you my own experience.
Well, it's also nice to have the correct shipping weight and measurements already filled out for the eBay shipping label because it's right on your listing. The other benefit is knowing, like you said, knowing where your item is and knowing that it's protected. You know, I mean, what if it doesn't sell for a year? At least you know where it is and it's protected. The downside of doing this, there is no downside to this.
Oh, all right. You have me on the edge of my seat there for a
minute. That's right. You're going to be doing all of this stuff anyhow at some point. This is just a far more efficient order, at least for me. For heavier items, I double box, and I note this on the outside of the outer box that it's double boxed. Double boxing is easy enough. It's very cheap insurance, and you know, it makes a nice first impression on the buyer when they open up this box and the item is protected in there. And of course, I still use from one box to the outer box. I still have the 2 inches of vacant space requirement between the inner and the outer boxes, and I fill those air voids with air pockets or sometimes recycled bubble wrap. But this is most often where my box resizing tool gets used. These are very helpful devices that are widely available for under $20, and they are the easiest solution for box resizing.
And what do they do?
Basically, you can adjust the height on these devices to find how many inches you want to take off of a box. And you just roll it around. It has a circular cutting disc and a handle. And you just roll it around the open top of the box, and it will reduce the size of the box itself because you don't want to have a box that's too big. It's wasting packing materials. It's just simply cheaper to ship a smaller box. It's a very valuable tool for shipping if you do it a lot.
These are all great tips, Gary. By the way, I'm just curious. Do you Do you happen to use maybe, I don't know, a thermal printer?
Ah, yes, I do, Griff. The thermal printer is most definitely my, well, until this week, I think it was my top go-to new item that made, just saved a whole world of headaches for me. It's so much easier. And, you know, I thought I was going to be putting 3M and Duck brand tape makers out of business using this thing because of all the, you know, I don't have to trim the labels.
Sure,
I don't have to glue them on there. Nevertheless, what a game changer that thermal printer is.
Another happy customer.
Absolutely. I love my little roll-up.
Well, Gary, you are a font of shipping and packing wisdom. I'm going to rely on you in the future and call you for advice when we have this topic come up again. So thanks so very much for calling in. I really appreciate it. Happy selling. Have a great holiday season and keep on listening.
Thank you so much, Griff.
Boy, this is just like the old days of eBay Radio when we took calls all the time on Thursdays. Welcome, caller, to the eBay for Business podcast. State your name and your user ID if you want. You don't have to. And tell us about your packing experience or tip.
Hi, my name is Kurt, and my username is Recording Systems on eBay. And we've been doing this for 21 years. I just have a little bit of a beef to pick with some people who... I know they have good intent, but they wrap their packages and their items in their package like it's going up on a moonshot. Or maybe one of Elon Musk is sending something to Mars. I can't believe it. You don't have to do that.
You are preaching to the choir. That's one of my pet peeves.
It's just amazing. I mean, all you need is a proper size box. Do not ever use packing peanuts. Those are evil. They kill whales. They kill the environment. Nobody wants them. You can't recycle them. And once you use them, they're shot anyway because they get beat up and they're not as strong. They turn to powder. They're just awful.
And they smell after a while, too.
So just forget packing peanuts.
All right. I'll cross that off the list happily. I do like when I get packing peanuts to the compostable ones, the ones that are made out of food starch that you can just put in the sink, spray water on them, and they dissolve. I love those.
Yeah, those will go away, but not the normal ones that you see. And to be honest with you, if you pack something heavy in a box with packing peanuts, they're not going to do anything to help that item inside. It's going to shift around. In fact, I just got an order through eBay of something that the guy had packed in packing peanuts, and it was pretty well destroyed. So
yikes.
So I don't recommend using them. I would highly recommend if you have anything in that's heavy to use a double box.
I like that.
Yeah, especially something that has sharp edges. There's these things that are like gray bags that you kind of break them internally, and there's two chemicals that mix, and it's like this foam that expands. If you have something like a base for a lamp, just say something that's fragile, you just lay it in there and you squeeze this thing and the foam expands. You tape it up and that's it. I mean, it's as solid as you can possibly get.
What is this called, this product?
It's a product by Sealed Air. It's a foam expansion bag.
Because we had somebody who called earlier who uses expansion foam, but they're using the ones that's like the insulation. This sounds like it's actually built for packing.
Yes, it is. The chemicals are all internal in the bag. You don't get any mess on anything. When you take the item out after it's all dried and cured, you know, for instance, your customer, when the customer pulls it out, there's going to have the indentation and everything in there. If you want to return it, you have a perfect return vehicle to get your item back to your seller.
Do you put a note in the package saying, hey, keep this in case you want to return it?
Oh, sure. Sure, definitely. It doesn't hurt to even put a sticker, you know, retain packaging in case of return. Because a lot of people they don't do this for a living. They don't do this maybe a couple times a year at the most. They don't know how to pack. You know, we're trying to help them.
That's what we're doing on the podcast. We're trying to get sellers who may not know how to pack, give them some ideas from other experienced sellers like you, Kurt.
Well, thank you, Griff. One thing you do want to do is don't be too cheap with your packaging. You have to understand when people open this stuff up, if they see cheap packaging. In other words, okay, here's an example. I went to the post office and there was somebody who was actually sending something to somebody that was wrapped up in supermarket bags. with probably a half a roll of tape around it. There was no protection at all.
Yikes.
And it just, you know, you could see the name of the company on it, you know, or the store. And it was just those gray bags with the blueprint, you know. And it just looked so cheap. And I said, why didn't you use a bag? You know, like a box router. And she said, I'm not going to pay a dollar for a box.
Yep,
now, if I was a customer and I got something that was in bags like that, like a body bag, I would have an attitude. And you better believe customers will kind of find other things wrong, perhaps more so if the packaging is something that really is embarrassing.
Yeah, this is a common theme that we've heard so far today about making sure the reveal is professional when you open that box. Don't use diapers, baby diapers. This one. I don't know if you heard that one.
Used.
No, well, we wouldn't already, but let's not even go there, but yes, right. Think of would you send this to your mother? That's what I like to think. Would you have sent this way to your mom? Think of everyone as your mother. It is important, that reveal.
Yes, and you'll find that you'll get fewer returns and fewer issues if you do a professional packaging. Now, maybe it's something that's very difficult. Like if you sell carpets, you know, it's a little hard to make that look like a professional ship job. I mean, basically, they just put shrink wrap around it and put a label on, I guess. I don't think they ever box them, but
small collector pieces might come in a box, and I buy those, so I find that way. But the standard for anything that's a big carpet is to fold it, roll it tightly, and then put it in as a cylinder, and then wrap it with either clear or even black heavy thickness garbage, you know, like construction garbage bags, and tape that
up. Sure.
I expect to get them that way. I've shipped them that way, and they seem to work just fine.
Mm-hmm. But as far as the packaging, it really is important to do a professional job. And you'll see a lot less people complaining on your feedback.
Well, Kurt, thank you so much for your call. I appreciate it. And do call in the future when we put out our outreach for calls. I'd love to talk to you again.
Okay, Griff. Have a good day.
We have time for one more call, 888-723-4630. Welcome to the eBay for Business podcast. Caller, what's your name and user ID and your packing experience?
Hi, my name is Cherry Emerson, and my eBay store that I share with my family is Allie J. Cat. It's all one word.
Cherry, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm old enough that I had jobs in department stores where you wrap the packages for the customers of something they had purchased.
Sure.
So I was always known to put something very carefully into beautiful tissue paper and then into a logo box for the store. And then the other wrapping would go around it.
Yeah.
And that just kind of came with me that in my mind, I'm almost sending them gifts. I know they're paying for it, but they should see a professional package. And if you look at my feedback for Allie J. Cat, you'll see 11,000 and no negatives. And you're going to see, love the packaging, carefully packaged. This was great. Thanks for the note. You'll see that kind of feedback.
Buyers love this. They are, you know, and it is a gift. If they're buying it for themselves, it's still a gift.
It's still a gift. You know, I buy gifts for myself. And I sent out today a Navajo pottery wedding vase that is rare for me to find. I'm an anthropologist by education.
Sure.
And that went out. That had tissue paper all around it very carefully. A clear tape, so you saw the beautiful eBay on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it went into small bubble wrap. Then it went into large bubble wrap. Then it went into something else. And then it went into packing all around it into a box. It may only have been about 8x8x10, but it's in a 12x12x14 box. And then that box itself would have eBay tape all the way around, almost like you'd put on a package for Christmas. I make sure that it goes around all the sides.
There's no confusing where this package came from.
There's no confusing. And then it's got the eBay and it's got the 25 years. And then I put Allie J. Cat has been with eBay 25 years. You know, I write that by hand.
Of course, yeah.
And then I always put in a thank you card that's the eBay card. So when they see it, they see eBay. They know it's coming. Then when they open it up, the note says thank you. And it says, please open it carefully. This is very fragile. It may be packed like a mummy.
Do you get your supplies from eBay?
Yes. I use what I get because I have a store. They'll give me $25 every quarter or something.
Sure.
That's gone in an instant.
You need to up your store subscription.
Right. Because I love the tissue paper. I have archival acid-free that I would wrap around something that I needed to be careful of, like a 300-year-old monastery piece out of New Mexico. But
I'm
then
interested.
I still put the eBay.
I want that. Where is it?
No, you can't have it. Not unless they list it, right? I have the eBay tissue paper that gets a lot of wear. I also buy the round eBay stickers. I buy the ones that say 25 years on eBay. And I buy the eBay thank you cards. And I also buy the one that says I recycle. Because once in a while, if I have a good box, I have no problem with recycling it. But I don't want them to think I'm just tackily shipping something. I mean, in the old days, in the beginning, I swear, I got a bracelet once in a toothpaste box.
Oh, geez.
Right?
Oh, no.
You know what I'm talking about?
This has been a common theme today of people getting these things in the most inappropriate packaging.
But yes, but I want them to have the full experience as if they had walked into a beautiful department store. They had found what they wanted for, you know, somebody had found what they wanted for them for a gift or something. They took it to the gift wrap department and the gift wrap department, you know, and they walk out very proud with their eBay shopping bag. Yeah. The fact that we can get eBay supplies and that we can look incredibly professional. I don't have the money to go have a bunch of tissue paper printed up that says Allie J. Cat on it. I don't have enough to have my boxes personally labeled. And the boxes are very solid. And I'm so picky that when I fold up a box, I want the ends to fit. I don't want the box to be cut poorly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little off square, you know, it's like the obsessive compulsive thing going.
Yeah, I do that
but
too.
I don't usually ship in a box that isn't an eBay box, unless it's that eBay doesn't sell that particular size.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I try to use eBay boxes. Well, I'm going to put a link to the eBay store and also where you as a seller can find your discount coupon that you can use to get anywhere from 25 to, depending on what your store level is, up to $150 worth of supplies. You get a new one every quarter, and you might as well use it. Don't waste it. So, Sherry, thank you so much. I really appreciate you calling in. Call in again on our next call-in show. We really appreciate it.
I will. You have a great afternoon.
That's our show for this week. How do you think it went? Our first total call-in show. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Maybe you'd like to see us do it again. Maybe you don't. Maybe we will. Remember, we have a call-in number, so if you want to leave a question, a comment, or maybe be a guest on an upcoming episode, call us, 888-723-4630. And of course, if you're not a call-on-the-phone person, I'm not, you always can email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com. Your daily podcast to-do list. Remember each day, check the announcement board for up-to-date seller news. Go visit the eBay community pages and check out our new podcast discussion forum. And save the link for the transcript for this and all episodes for follow-up on what you've heard and to see the links we referenced during that episode. I want to thank all the sellers who called in with their tips on packing this week. We couldn't have done this episode without you. Brian Burke will be back as co-host next week, and we'll have another full episode for your listening pleasure. The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.